Welcome once again to our program, a series of programs on intelligent design and the biological evolution debate. This is our 10th series, and we're heading towards completion now as we talk with our guest, Ron Eldred, who's done so much research and background study to bring us what's a wonderful presentation so far about, first of all, what is the debate all about that started many years ago with the Scopes trial and has heated up perhaps the last 10 years, particularly between people who are called ID scientists, competent, recognized scientists, who's saying we have to account for the design, the complexity of design in nature, the human eye, the human body, human heart, by more than just saying it's a product of random selection in evolution, not needing God in any way. So Ron, our guest, is the teacher at John Paul II Catholic High, teaches world history and American history, also teaches course on the Bible. I'm your host, Monsignor Larry Moran, pastor emeritus at St. Patrick Catholic Church in 19th and Poplar. So Ron, once again, welcome once again, and we might review just a moment that we were talking about Cardinal Shanborn, or Shinborn's comments to the press, which have been one of the most exciting things that have caused lots of comments both in Europe and in the United States about this intelligent design and biological evolution debate. So could you begin again from what it says and his comments and the Pope Benedict XVI's comments? It seems that the Cardinal believes that intelligent design does not belong in a biology class.
That's right. Although, as we suggested or talked about in one of our earlier sessions, he's very sympathetic with the idea, of course, of intelligent design, not only from a philosophical perspective, but from a scientific perspective. But going to your question there, he says, quote, "The question of the Creator belongs in religion class." In other words, he's basically saying that it's a religious or a philosophical issue. On the other hand, he says that the question of the intelligent project of the cosmos, as the Pope put it, naturally belongs in the science class. By the Pope, he's talking about Benedict the 16th. The question that great scientists like Einstein and Heisenberg ask are questions that go beyond materialism. In the end, it's a question about intelligence. Is intelligence the product of matter? Is the information that intelligence shapes a product of matter? He repeats his question in different words. This is clearly a question that can quickly turn ideological or philosophical. So that belongs in school, but I might add in a religion or a philosophy course. So basically he's saying intelligent design, not the philosophy now, but more the the Discovery Institute and the scientists in this country that are affiliated with it and others.
And they are top scientists.
Yes, and we did take a look at a lot of their statistical data during our session, Reasons to Believe Catholic Apologetics, and there is an enormous amount of information that would certainly be logical to conclude that there has to be, it's so complex the universe is so complex that it simply would have to be designed. It's not logical to think that it could just spring into existence on its own without a plan, without a planner and a creator and a sustainer of the universe. He closes by saying that the evolutionary debate is, quote, "all about materialism. That's the key issue." I would add that materialism is a religious or philosophical matter, and that much of what is taught as scientific fact in public school biology classes is philosophy or theology and not science. Much is what Much of what is taught as scientific fact is more ideological or philosophical than scientific.
And that's really the heart of the debate, that we can explain everything by material alone, don't have to have God, a creator, don't have to have a designer, and that neo-Darwinism would say we can explain everything without God and just by material selection, random selection.
Yeah, strictly by variation. Random variation and natural selection, that's how they would put it.
And it's almost blind selection.
Yes, without any God playing no role, not even in a secondary sense.
Okay. Okay, now Cardinal Schönborn is not just any cardinal, is he?
No, and I think this is even obvious from the comments he makes when he refers to the Pope on several occasions in the quotations we've given over the last two or three sessions. He was the editor of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which came out in, I believe, in 91 or 2, something like that. And he serves on the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Of course, you might recall Cardinal Ratzinger, now Benedict XVI, of course, ran that office for 20 years, I believe it was, if I recall right, under John Paul. In fact, he was a student of Cardinal Ratzinger. When Regensburg University. Ratzinger was a professor there for many years, and Cardinal Schönborn, of course he was just a young student then, studied under him there. I think he probably wrote his doctoral dissertation under him. So, you know, what he says must carry a lot of weight in the church. His views could be influential in shaping the thinking of Pope Benedict's pontificate on scientific matters.
And Pope Benedict XVI kind of assign him to look deeper into this?
Yes, he did.
And to come up with some, we can make some more clear statements about the church and evolution.
And a lot of what we've been saying about the cardinal is a result of that request.
Okay. What do we know about Pope Benedict's views on intelligent design and the evolutionary hypothesis? We're not calling it a theory right now, because we're not sure it's...
Even though John Paul said that it's more than a theory, he didn't go so far as say, or more than a hypothesis, but he didn't go so far as to say it was a theory.
And a hypothesis is an educated guess, and a theory is a something that has much, much more probability.
Observation, testing, and this, that, and the other would lead to a higher
level of probability. Another degree of probability.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I read that Cardinal Schönborn told the New York Times that he wrote the article. This is this original article that there was so much debate over. It was in the op-ed section, opinion editorial section. After being encouraged to look into the issue of evolution by the then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger prior to his election as Pope. In a telephone interview from a monastery in Austria that I read, the Cardinal said that his New York Times essay had not been approved by the Vatican, but that 2 or 3 weeks before Pope Benedict XVI's election, and April before that election, he spoke with the Pope. He was then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, about the church's position on evolution. And the cardinal said to the soon-to-be pope that he would like to have more explicit statement about evolution, and that he encouraged him, or that is the pope, or the to-be pope, encouraged Schönborn to continue. And he said that the pope had been angry, quote, he put this in angry in quotations, the word angry, for years about writers and theologians, many Catholics, who misrepresented the Church's position as endorsing the idea of evolution as a random process. And the Pope is quoted as saying, quote, evolution in the sense of common ancestry might be true, but evolution in the neo-Darwinian sense, an unguided, unplanned process of random variation of natural selection, is not, end of quote. He was quoting the Pope here. Moreover, Pope Benedict made points similar to the cardinals in his installation mass homily on April the 24th, 2005, when he said, quote, We are not some casual and meaningless product of evolution. Each of us is a result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. Each of us is loved. Each of us is necessary, end of quote.
That's a powerful statement that's been printed on holy cards and various means of trying to get out that wonderful statement that he made at his inauguration mass homily. Well, didn't the Pope also issue a document on the subject of evolution when he was the head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith before he was elected Pope?
Yeah, yes, he did. The document you're referring to was issued by the International Theological Commission in 2004 and is entitled Communion and Stewardship, subtitled Human Persons Created in the Image of God. And the document clearly distinguishes between a scientific and a theological analysis of evolution. This document and recent statements by Cardinal Shinburn and Pope Benedict have led some to wonder whether or not the Church plans to retreat from the Church's traditional teaching that evolution and Catholic dogma are not in conflict.
Well, do you think that it is a retreat from earlier Catholic positions on the evolutionary hypotheses?
Yeah, specifically you'd be talking about comments, you know, that Pius XII made in Humana Generis, or Paul VI made some comments on evolution, and certainly John Paul made quite a few himself. And I don't think it is any departure at all from that position. In fact, you could even almost go back to St. Augustine in the 4th century for the roots of that view, theistic evolutionary view.
That's the key word, theistic, with God at the beginning.
Yes, God at the beginning, God designing it, God creating it, and God creating in that manner.
Okay.
The Pope's main concern is moral relativism. He talked about that probably more than anything in his inaugural address when he became the Pope, and on which he has written extensively. The Pope believes that wrongly interpreting evolution can and has led to some scientists and philosophers reaching atheistic and morally relative notions. I think that the Church learned a lesson, though, from the Galileo affair, not to indiscriminately mix science and religion. In fact, Pope John Paul II received a study in 1992 acknowledging that the Church erred in condemning Galileo. That's a debatable point, whether the Church actually did condemn Galileo, which we don't have time to go into that.
Okay.
In my world history class, we do look at that issue.
And John Paul II, Kevin
yeah.
And of course, Galileo was the famous case. Does the sun revolve around the earth or vice versa?
Yeah, so the heliocentric versus the geocentric views of the universe, and or at least the solar system. And actually, the Church never officially, as a church, condemned Galileo, really.
And actually, wasn't it true that most scientists at the time, believed that the sun went around the earth?
Well, yes, certainly some of them did, but there were leaders in the church, such as Robert Bellarmine, for example. If I recall right, he was friendly toward the Copernican, what was called the Copernican
right?
view or the heliocentric view. But the problem was they didn't want Galileo or other people teaching this as fact, and they didn't want them doing it in public, primarily because they thought it might disturb the common people, the laity.
Their faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you have to be careful about, even with a theory of evolution. You have to be awfully careful how it's handled. And not very many people would have the time maybe to turn on our first program and follow this whole debate through to see what it is. And so we tried to make each session stand on its own as much as we could. Again, one has to be very careful about what one says about such topics that could be disturbing to some people's faith. There are answers to these things, but most people don't have the time or whatever, or the inclination to really get the answers, at least at that deeper level.
Sure. Well, I'm sorry, I kind of got you off on Galileo there.
Well, I think this is in keeping with the church's practice the past two centuries, to leave the evaluation and endorsement of specific scientific theories to scientists. And the church has always agreed with scientists on matters such as the age of the earth and the authenticity of the fossil record, things like that. And moreover, papal pronouncements, along with commentaries by cardinals, have accepted the findings of scientists on the gradual development of life, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk a minute then about this document, Communion and Stewardship, and what it says about evolution, because this is kind of, well, not an official, but at least as close as we're going to get statement.
It's as close as we're going to get, you're right. A pertinent part of the document, paragraph 63, says, quote, according to the widely accepted scientific account, the universe erupted 15 billion years ago in an explosion called the Big Bang, and has been expanding and cooling ever since. So, you know, basically they're saying, okay, this is what the scientists are saying, the cosmologists, and so, you know, we don't have any quarrel with that. It doesn't conflict, you know, with any teachings of the church. Essentially, I think that's what they're saying there. Later, there gradually emerged the conditions necessary for the formation of atoms. Still later, the condensation of galaxies and stars, and about 10 billion years after the formation of planets. In our own solar system and on Earth, formed about 4.5 billion years ago, the conditions have been favorable to the emergence of life. Every statistic I see in there is compatible with what I've read from and seen from numerous other sources. While there is little consensus among scientists about how the origin of this first microscopic life is to be explained, there is general agreement among them that the first organism dwelt on this planet about 3.5 to 4 billion years ago. In other words, the beginning of life. In its very rudimentary form, one cell, you know, something or another.
And that's generally agreed upon by scientists.
Yes, by the great.
So the church's great concern is not what happened, that's a matter of science. How did it happen?
Yeah.
It's where the church gets involved. We've got to get God in there at the beginning.
Well, since it has been demonstrated that all living organisms on Earth are genetically related, it is virtually certain that all living organisms have descended from this first organism. This is the document. And I understand there is some genetic, when you're talking about life, there is some strong genetic evidence that all life has a very common, there's a common denominator in all forms of life.
And tell me once again, so to help our audience, what is the document Communion and Stewardship? Where is it from?
It's from the Theological Commission.
Okay.
A special commission set up by the Pope to look at the theological issues.
All right.
The document goes on, converging evidence from many studies in the physical and biological sciences furnishes amounting support for some theory of evolution to account for the development and diversification of life on Earth. While controversy continues over the pace and the mechanisms of evolution. Now, this is between scientists, you see.
Okay.
They really haven't gotten into the theological issue yet.
Okay.
While the story of human origins is complex and subject to revision, physical anthropology and molecular biology combine to make a convincing case for the origin of the human species in Africa about 150,000 years ago in a hominoid population of common genetic lineage. Still reading. However, from the document. However, it is to be explained, the decisive factor in human origins was a continually increasing brain size, culminating in that of Homo sapiens.
Thinking man.
Yeah, thinking man.
Okay.
With the development of the human brain, the nature and rate of evolution was permanently altered with the introduction of the uniquely human factors of consciousness, intentionality, freedom, and creativity. Biological evolution was recast as social and cultural evolution.
Okay. Now, that's a mouthful. Does the document say anything about specific about the evolutionary hypothesis are intelligent design. Does it get into that?
Yes, it does. The most prominent statement in the document is found in paragraph 68, which says, quote, in freely willing to create and conserve the universe, see, now they're getting God into the whole story here.
Okay.
God wills to activate and to sustain in act. That's a theological, that's a, when you use that word in act, that's a Thomistic term.
Kind of like the sun holds its rays in existence. Yeah. God holds everything in existence.
Yes. Okay. To sustain and act all those secondary causes. In other words, God is the primary cause. And then all other causes that follow that are secondary causes. Once he gets everything started. Once he gets the ball rolling, in other words. That's the primary cause.
Okay.
And then all other causes, including human things that humans do to cause things to happen, are called secondary causes.
Okay. That we co-create with God.
Yes.
Okay.
Whose activity contributes to the unfolding of the natural order, which he intends to produce. In other words, God designed it and then he set it in motion, so to speak, but he doesn't interfere in it very often. When he does, we call that a miracle. When
okay.
he sets about, when he sets aside his own laws, which he can do anytime he chooses. But he does work through
secondary causes.
Secondary causes.
And this is where we would distinguish between a deist who says that God created but then left everything completely on its own, never interferes, kind of let it go and take care of itself.
Well, we Catholics believe, and most Christians believe, there's a divine plan in all this, so what we would call salvation history. And in my world history class, basically that's what we look at. World history is salvation history.
How God is continually working to bring all people to see God, see him face to face.
Well, even our prayers, God being omnipotent and omniscient, you know, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's always been. He knew what we were going to ask, you know, for all time. And so he accounted for all those things. So it's worked in. All of this is worked into God's plan. So, you know, a Catholic can believe in the evolutionary process as having a secondary causation, working according to natural laws and this, that, and the other. But you have to keep in mind these are God's laws.
Okay.
From looking at it from the Catholic point of view and from a Christian point of view and other religions
and,
as well.
And we see all through the process intelligent design.
Sure.
Okay.
Going on to the document. Through the activity of natural causes, God causes to arise those conditions required for the emergence, support, and support of living organisms, and furthermore, for their reproduction and differentiation. Although there is scientific debate about the degree of purposeness or design operative and empirically observable in these developments, they have de facto favored the emergence and flourishing of life. Catholic theologians can see in such reasoning support for the affirmation entailed by faith in divine creation and divine providence. In the providential design of creation, the triune God intended not only to make a place for human beings in the universe, but also and ultimately to make room for them in his own Trinitarian life. Furthermore, operating as real, though secondary causes, human beings contribute to the reshaping and transformation of the universe. Just a little bit more to quote here. Paragraph 69 states, a growing body of scientific critics of neo-Darwinism.
Yes,
right. That's the idea, again, of a materialistic...
being sufficient to explain everything.
Yes, just simply random variation and
natural
selection and blind chance and those kind of things without God playing any role in the whole thing. They point to evidence of design. A growing body of scientific critics now, neo-Darwinism, point to evidence of design, that is, biological structures that exhibit specified complexity. That's ID terminology they've got actually in this document, you see.
Oh, really?
That, in their view, cannot be explained in terms of a purely contingent process and that neo-Darwinians have ignored or misunderstood or misrepresented, misinterpreted.
Now, several times coming, you're going to use the word contingent, and is that synonymous with random?
Yeah, no, I like the dependent.
Dependent.
You can just use the word dependent in replace of contingent.
Okay.
The nub of this currently lively disagreement this is the document, involves scientific observation and generalization concerning whether the available data support inferences of design or chance and cannot be settled by theology. But it is important to note that according to Catholic understanding of divine causality, true contingency, that is dependency, in the created order is not incompatible with a purposeful divine providence. In other words, there's not the science and religion, there's not any, what they're saying is, there's no real conflict between science and religion. Divine causality and created causality radically differ in kind and not only in degree. Thus, even the outcome of a truly contingent natural process can nonetheless fall within God's providential plan for creation. Next, the document warns against the philosophical abuse of evolutionary theory by saying, quote, any evolutionary mechanism that is contingent can only be contingent because God made it so. An unguided evolutionary process, one that falls outside the bounds of divine providence, simply cannot exist, end of quote. Well, and we mean by divine providence, actually, that's a plan. That's God's plan for...
Blueprint.
Yes.
Working out of the world to bring salvation ultimately at the end of time.
And to creating a new heaven and a new earth ultimately.
And to all who would cooperate with his plan, salvation is God's plan to be see him face to face in heaven. Okay. Well, we've got just a couple of minutes. Maybe we can take another question. Does this mean, then, that the Catholic Church officially endorses the evolutionary hypothesis?
I believe that it's consistent with John Paul II's statement that evolution is, quote, more than a hypothesis, end of quote. One expert tells us that the document provides a basis for Catholics to accept evolution as modern scientists understand it, without surrendering belief in God as the ultimate cause of life. Another expert who worked on the document, that is this theological commission, a Jesuit by the name of Father Sunichi Takayanagi of Sophia University in Tokyo, Sophia meaning, of course, wisdom, he says, quote, there's quite a strong element in the natural sciences who simply don't approve of any transcendental cause as a matter of philosophy, but that doesn't mean, however, that evolution as such is incompatible with Christianity. He concludes by saying, we are not against evolution as such, but the materialist use of evolutionary theory, end of quote. In other words, he's talking about this neo-Darwinism that the Pope and Pope Benedict XVI and Cardinal Schönborn both. And what we mean by that materialistic view of evolution is the idea that life, all life, is just nothing more than a product of random variation, blind chance, random variation, and natural selection without God playing any role in it.
And then it gets into moral relativism, which says, well, there really isn't any right or wrong except what we make up ourselves.
Yes.
And that was really a big problem for Benedict XVI. Well, our time has run out, and may God bless you always and in all ways.